Father, as we look into your word today, Father, help us to learn how to grieve your way. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand right now and honor God as we read Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12, where King David tells us a little bit about his times of grief. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing, and you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. You may be seated. I do not believe in accidents when it comes to the realm of the life of a believer. I have ministered to many families that have lost loved ones, and I've been with them to try to encourage them from God's word. However, when my own father passed away, I and my father were not real close in life. He was a very strong-willed man. We had our differences. But when he passed, I couldn't believe the grief that hit me. And it wasn't too long after that, and I had an older brother pass away. And again, I was surprised by the amount of grief that came over me. And within a month of my brother's passing, my mother passed, who I was very close to. And again, grief took the wind right out of my sail. Bum Phillips, he was a former coach of the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans, he also coached. He made the comment, there are two types of coaches in the NFL. Them that have been fired, and them that are going to be fired. Folks, there are two kinds of people in this world. Them that are grieving, and them that are going to be grieving. One of these days, the wind is going to go out of your sails. And you better know what to do when that happens, because it's a fact there are going to be times in your life when you are going to grieve deeply over a loss. When Job lost his 10 children all in one day, Job said the Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, we love it when the Lord gives, but I don't know of a single person that likes it when the Lord takes away. But he is going to take away. Everything we have on this earth, all of our relationships, all of our houses, cars, families, it's all going to be gone one of these days. And it's going to cause some real problems and real grief in your heart. Grief doesn't have to destroy you. Grief can actually turn to growth if you know how to handle it. Now, as a hospice chaplain, I teach people in the five stages of grief. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross kind of wrote it out. This is a psychologist way of dealing with grief, and it's very useful. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things that psychology teaches that are very, very useful. She said, first, you're going to deny. Denial is extremely important. We're going to say, this just can't be happening. This is not right. it's not right. I'm not going to believe it. It didn't happen. And we all go through those stages. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, I just don't believe this is happening to me. Anger is the second stage. You can get angry with God, and it's okay. He can handle it. You won't bruise his feelings. He knows life hurts. Then there's bargaining. Lord, if you'll change this situation, then I'll do this. And we try to bargain with God, but it doesn't usually work very well at all. And then we hit depression. Folks, depression can last a long time. Some people, it lasts the rest of their life, sometimes 20, 30, 40 years of depression, because they never learn how to truly deal with grief. For those that learn how to deal with grief, the last step is acceptance. And that's what Job had, didn't he? He said, Lord, you gave and you took. Praise your name. The Lord does have a time when he's going to take back everything he's given to you. I have been gifted with a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of knowledge, but I have to tell you, it's slipping away. I'm 78 now, and the way I think isn't the way that would be normal thinking. I went to my grandson's house yesterday, and they had a huge video screen up, and they had a racing car game that you would sit in this seat, had a steering wheel, and up on the screen was this racetrack, and you rented in a very fast car, and you go around these corners and stuff, and I actually got physically dizzy because it seemed so real. 40 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have got dizzy. Things change, and you have to get used to that, folks. We're not going to have all the things we have today for the rest of our life, but a beautiful illustration. I encourage you, learn the stages of grief. Use it because it is helpful. But God goes way beyond what man knows. And God has a way of dealing with grief that's a little bit different than that. And if you can learn God's way of handling your grief, you will go from grief to growth fairly quickly. I don't advise staying in grief for year after year after year. It's a miserable place to be. We want to move past our grief to growth. And so in Psalm 30, which we looked at earlier, God teaches us how he wants us to handle grief. Grief is common to all mankind. When you hit grief, don't feel bad. Don't feel like it's just me failing to be a Christian. It's not. Even our Lord Jesus Christ grieved in his lifetime. Nothing wrong with that. But in Romans 8:28 is one of the most wonderful promises of God's word. And if you don't know Romans 8:28, I just advise you, memorize this verse. It's going to help you greatly when it's your turn in the grief pit. We know that in all things, the good things and what we consider the bad things of life, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so if you say to yourself, this thing is against me like Jacob did, it's going to stay against you, and you're going to go years thinking, this thing is against me. Folks, if you can learn early on in your Christian faith that nothing can touch your life unless it comes through your Father's hand. And if it comes through your Father's hand, he means it for good. Is it going to hurt? You bet it's going to hurt. But it really is for your good. So when we get into this thing, the first order of things that God says, we should be looking for the Lord's truth in the midst of our grief. If you're looking for the Lord's truth in your grief, it won't take long. You'll learn what God's up to. Why, Lord, have you allowed this thing? It's a wonderful question to ask. And it won't go unanswered. It may go unanswered for a week or a month or maybe a year, but it will be answered. Our Lord Jesus said in John 8:31, To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Folks, when we know God's truth in the midst of our grief, it will help us on the journey of being set free from the grief and get into the growth that God means. God doesn't allow anything to touch his children if it's not for their good. There are some lies that we tell ourselves when we come into grief. And these are things you need to identify as lies. Number one, how could this happen to me? This kind of thing doesn't happen to people like me. Folks, you have to understand, grief is common to all mankind. It isn't necessarily you did something wrong. It isn't necessarily that God's against you. He allows grief to all mankind. The sad tragedy of grief happens to everyone. In fact, the last night of Jesus' life on this earth, he said in John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Folks, in the midst of your heartbreak, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But you have to know the truth, and you have to believe the truth. We fool ourselves with the thinking that we are immune to death and disaster in our lives. But the clear teaching from the Word of God is no, you are not immune from death in your family, even your own death, and you're not immune to disaster in your family, even disaster in your own life. Listen to what King David said in Psalm 30, verse 6. "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken." How many times have you felt that way? We sing that old song, "Everything's going my way," and we think, this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. No, sadly, it's not. Everything goes our way when the Lord is choosing to help us in that direction. But some of the things we learn only one way, and that's through suffering. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Folks, there are some lessons in life that will only be taught one way, and that's through the hardships of life. Our Lord wants us to know that we are not secure in and of ourselves. It isn't your good life that's caused all the blessings in your life. There is a God in heaven. It isn't your terrible life that's going to cause some of the disasters in your life. There is a God in heaven. He has a time and a season for everything. And there is a time and a season for grief. In Psalm 30, verse 7, the very next verse, "Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed." This is the man who just said, nothing's going to ever shake me. The Lord's blessing my life. Everything's going great. But it isn't that the Lord hides his face. It's just that he backs up and lets life happen to us. And it hurts. Life can be very, very hurtful. So when we go through life thinking it could never happen to me, we set ourselves up for a deeper disaster than has to be. Years ago, there was a church that was offering Christian divorce recovery support group classes. And a couple of women saw the posting on their bulletin board, and one woman said to another, "Christian divorce? Isn't that an oxymoron?" And the other girl agreed, "Well, there's no way Christians should ever get divorced." Folks, if you think that way, if you think that nothing could ever happen in your particular marriage that might cause a divorce, you're living in a dreamland. Husbands are not always faithful, neither are wives. Life happens, and we all need support when life goes wrong. Your marriage, and I felt myself, we've got a wonderful marriage, but people do change. When we get married, we say for better, for worse, richer or poor, and riches and health and not health. When we take those pledges, do we really mean it? Because life happens, folks. And when it happens, you have to make some hard choices. Don't deceive yourself. No one is exempt from grief in your heart. Don't say, my marriage is immune. My kids will always be healthy. We're only going to have healthy babies. Folks, I've got a granddaughter right now who the doctor has said there may be some trouble with her baby. Not born yet. Folks, is that common to mankind? That is very common to mankind. Nobody is immune. So I just want to go through just a couple lies real quickly that people tell themselves, because Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. Lie number one, this is going to haunt me forever. No, it won't. If you're a Christian, there's going to come a time, maybe not till eternity, but the problems we have on this earth are not going to haunt us forever. Now, they can last, but they don't have to last that long. People who are divorced sometimes say, in their own heart, I'll never have a loving relationship again. Folks, that's a lie of Satan. You can have a loving relationship again. Folks will say, who are fired from their company, no company will ever hire me now. Both companies are hiring people that have been fired all the time. It's not the end. That's what Satan wants you to think. It's the end. Nobody's ever going to want you again. Women who have been raped think nobody's ever going to want me. That's not true. You can still be loved. It's not your fault you got raped. There are men that will love you with all their heart. People with serious health problems think there's no contribution I could possibly make now. Folks, some of the greatest contributions to mankind have been made from people who are extremely, extremely ill. And they just keep right on trucking for the Lord. People who have been failed morally, in other words, they've sinned grievously, think God can never use me again. Folks, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. David also was a murderer. Moses lost his temper in a rage. He took God's glory, and God used him all again. Those are lies that Satan wants you to believe. People who have been hurt sometimes think, I'll never be happy again. You will be. You're going to have joy again. Those whose loved ones have died say, I'll never see them again. Folks, if they were a Christian, and you are, you will see him again. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, his anger lasts only a moment. When you sin and I sin, yes, God gets angry, because sin hurts people. It hurts you, who he loves dearly, and it hurts all those around you. So he's going to get angry. His anger, though, only lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Folks, we should be sad for our sin. We should grieve over our sin. But don't let it hold you down forever. We have a God who forgives. We have a God who loves us in spite of ourselves, and he'll work with you the rest of the days of your life. Some of you say, wait a minute, the grief in my life, I caused it. This is what I did. It can never change. Oh, man. You can learn from your mistakes, folks. How do you think they got cars that go as long as they do now? They learn from their mistakes. Folks, you can learn. You can grow. God does get angry at sin, but he loves to forgive sin, and he moves us past it. In Romans 4:7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Now you do reap what you sow, but when we get to heaven, guess what? It's never going to be counted against us. And there does come a time after you've sown what you've reaped that God can give you a brand new crop. Folks, the game's not over yet. Number two, we need to learn to transfer to God our pain. What is the word transfer? It means I'm not handling my pain anymore. I'm giving it to my Lord. Folks, this is one of the greatest secrets. It's a turning point. A turning point from saying, I, to saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. It changes the game entirely. Because the same one that allowed the pain to come can be the one that will take the pain away. In Psalm 30, verse 8, David said, to you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. Now, what does the word mercy mean? Mercy means I don't get what I deserve. Folks, mercy and grace are the opposite ends of a pole. Mercy, I don't get what I deserve. Grace, I get what I don't deserve. Folks, it's so important for you to understand God is a merciful God. He doesn't give it to you and just keep giving it over and over and over, the pain and the sorrow. He will allow the pain and the sorrow, but he wants you to rejoice again. Have you ever read the verse that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength? Folks, when the Lord restores your joy, you're going to be stronger than you ever were. It's an amazing thing that God does. Here's how we transfer. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, and this is Jesus. It's in red. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. He's giving you an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you transfer from you hauling all this pain and all this sorrow, all this guilt, and you say, Lord, I need to yoke up with you. Most of us don't understand what a yoke is. A yoke is where you put two animals together to pull whatever load you're pulling. And in that yoke, the stronger animal carries the load. The weaker animal just stays in step. And when you choose to yoke up with Jesus Christ, he's the stronger. He'll carry the weight for you. He'll take the burden off your soul. He'll let you know if you trust him, he's going to work it for your good. Because that's the promise of Romans 8:28, isn't it? We know. Now, we know it mentally. But do you know it in your heart? We know that in all things, the good things, the hard things of life, God works for the good of those that do two things. Number one, that love him. Let me ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you do, and you'll be called according to his purpose, not your purpose, his purpose. If it was up to me, my wife would never die. None of my children would die. None of my grandchildren will be sick. But it's not up to me. God chooses those things. When I yoke up with him and my grandchildren get sick or my wife, one of these days, one of us is going first. I hope it's me, not her, but however it works out, one of us is going to be grieving, but not without hope. I'm going to see her again. We're going to spend eternity together. Not as husband and wife anymore, but as best friends for all eternity. Folks, I want to encourage you. This is not the end. In Psalm 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. Now, folks, there are some people that would love to help you, but they're not able. It isn't that they don't care. They do care. But there's nothing they can do. They don't have the ability. My tractor went down. I don't know how many months Joel's been working on that tractor, but he has the ability. I couldn't put it back together, but he could. Folks, there are people that would love to help you, but they can't. But the Lord can. And if you'll yoke up with him, if you'll turn to him, He can turn that sadness to joy. He can turn that pain in your heart into a relief where now you can use that pain to help somebody else. The Lord uses people to help us often. It isn't that He just does it Himself. He'll call somebody along your side that's gone through the same thing that you are going through to help you. And so in your grief, don't shut yourself off from the people that love you. Spend time with other people. Coping with grief is easier when someone's alongside to support you. Talk about your feelings. Oh, I know, only women talking about their feelings. No. Men need to talk about their feelings. Because when you release those feelings and you trust in God, He can start the healing. Don't be afraid to tell somebody your heart's breaking. My older brother married 1 week short of 60 years when his wife died. My older brother was one of the strongest men in our family. We had 7 boys and 1 lucky girl, but 7 boys, and he was one of the strongest. I saw my older brother weep like a little girl. I'm telling you, he wept and wept, and he's still weeping from time to time. It's been over a year now. Folks, real love brings real pain and real grief when they go. Don't think you're not going to grieve, but he's not grieving like somebody with no hope. You say, well, men shouldn't cry. I want to tell you, my Lord Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, if you ever get into a Bible contest memorizing, this is the shortest verse. John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. 2 words. And it was at a funeral. Folks, weeping at a funeral is a very common thing, isn't it? I just had a funeral for a wonderful woman that I used to sing with. She was part of my hospice group. But I want to tell you, people wept because they greatly loved Teresa. Teresa's with her Lord now. Folks, she's happier than she's ever been. Her family isn't. Her family's grieving deeply. But joy will come in the morning. Don't be afraid to ask support and help from family and friends. Most people, believe it or not, do love you. Even as your heart is breaking, they have not forgotten you. They just want an opening to be able to come and be with you. Eat healthy food. Don't get into the binging on too much stuff. Sleep as much as you can. I know sometimes sleep's hard to get when you're grieving. Invest in others. Volunteer at a church. Volunteer to help in a food pantry. Volunteer to help visiting people that are shut in and have nobody to come. Because as you do unto others, the Lord's going to do it unto you. Reach out in life and help, and you'll get the help you need. Stay away from stressful situations. Don't be watching the news all the time. News has its place. But when you're grieving, you don't need to hear about other people and all the trouble of the world. Take a little break from it. Find a good book, something you're going to enjoy, and just read for a while. Folks, all these things begin the healing. Expect your Lord to touch you is the third thing. The Lord is still touching people today. He can do the miraculous that we can't do. Good news is, if you're in the midst of grief and you feel hit rock bottom, you can turn your life around by turning to the Lord. He loves you. He loves you so much that He gave Himself for you. He loves you so much that He'll be with you through all the days of your grief. And He will bring you out. The good news is you don't have to wait till you hit rock bottom to turn to the Lord. You can turn to the Lord right away if you choose to. Doesn't mean you won't grieve. Believe me, you're going to grieve. It's going to take a while. But it will happen. In Psalm 30, verse 2, David said, Lord my God, I called to You for help and You healed me. Folks, He can heal the broken heart. You are going to have a broken heart from time to time throughout your life. But He can heal that. So the formula is we turn to the Lord, we transfer our trust to Him, and then we wait upon the Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 1, David said, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. David goes on to say in Psalm 30, verse 11, and this is our key verse for today. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. When you're in the midst of your grief, you think you're never going to have joy again. But again, that's a lie of Satan. You will have joy again. Right now, you may still be in the wailing stages. There may be some here today that are grieving deeply over something going on in your life. But God tells you, you might as well get ready and put your dance shoes out, because pretty soon you're going to be dancing again. Folks, nothing wrong with dancing. It's a great thing to do, especially if you got your best buddy doing it with them. So some of the hurts in life have caused grief, but we'll never laugh about it. Don't get me wrong. Some of the pain in life is going to be there. You're just going to learn how to have joy over the pain. I want to give you a few things. You're never going to look back at a divorce and laugh about it, because it's always painful. And sometimes that pain lasts for years. You're never going to look back at the tragic death of a loved one and think this is just wonderful. Folks, that's a lifetime of pain. You're never going to look back at abuse as a child and laugh about it, because it will last a lifetime. But in the midst of all that, you can laugh in the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. No matter what's wrong in your life, and we all have things that are wrong in our lives most of the time, but whatever's wrong, we can still rejoice that we know and love the Lord, and that He knows and He loves us. He longs for us to turn to Him. Jesus' future ministry is going to be one of restoration. He's already involved in it, but when He comes back to this earth, He's going to restore a particular nation. It's the nation of Israel. And I know many people think the Lord's all done with Israel. They're just the trash of the earth. But the Lord's not done with Israel. I want to show you what He's going to do for them, because He'll do the same thing in your life right now. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, this is a prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ, what He's going to do, His final ministry when He comes back to this earth. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Folks, that day is coming. Right now, Israel is heading for the worst time in their history. I don't know if you know the Bible well enough to know. Right now, it appears Israel's winning this battle over there with Iran and Iraq and all the countries around it. It looks pretty good. But the Bible tells us very clearly there's coming a day soon. I don't know when. But Russia and Iran and those nations all in that area are going to come down and attack Israel. And they're going to destroy it. They're going to rape the women. They're going to kill the babies. It's going to be awful. But that's not the end of the story. When Christ comes back, He's going to restore Israel as the greatest nation on this earth. God made a covenant. And God cannot break His covenant. I praise the Lord for that, because He's made a covenant with His church too. And He can't break that one either. And because he's made that covenant, I'm looking forward to Israel one day being the greatest nation on this earth. I know it doesn't seem possible right now, but that's God's way. It might be hard for you right now in your grief to think that there's ever going to come a day when you're going to be extremely, extremely happy again. But if you know Christ, you are going to be that way. In Psalm 30, verse 11, David said, "You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." What God wants you and I to do is to look to the Lord's truth. Get into the Word. Let that Word saturate you. It'll change the way you think. Learn to transfer your hurt and your pain to God. He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you." I hope you understand that even in the midst of your pain, He still cares. He's got a plan for your pain. When we take our children to get their shots, it's not because we don't love our children. We've got a plan. We're going to save them from polio, from different diseases that are going to injure their life. Yes, we know it's going to hurt, but it's for their good, and our Heavenly Father's the same way. And then look for the Lord to touch your life. Folks, if you'll do those things, you're going to heal much quicker. You're not going to heal today or tomorrow, but you're going to heal much quicker because the Lord will do the miraculous thing in your heart of restoration. It's His ministry. He knows how to do it best. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that we can turn to you with our hurts, with our pains, with our grief. And you, Lord, can restore us in due time. Yes, it's going to take some time. But time with you is on our side. Father, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to rejoice in our relationship with you. And we're going to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.